This interview with Elizabeth Callahan took place on November 9, 2019, in Rhinebeck, New York. It contains three segments. In segment one, she describes the term ordinary mind, a term that is often used in the Kagyu tradition to describe Buddha nature. In segment two, she discusses the terminology associated with Buddha nature. And in the final segment, she answers the question, what is Buddha nature?
Another term which is used for Buddha nature is ordinary mind. And this is something that you find in the Kagyu tradition, coming particularly from Gampopa, who used ordinary mind to reflect the fact that the nature of our mind is just that. It's ordinary, it's right there, it's not something we need to go search outside of ourselves for. We have it right here. Another way to translate that term, Tamil Jishepa, would be the natural state of mind. And this is Buddha nature. And the third Karmapa, in one of his texts where he's talking about Buddha nature, defines it by saying it is ordinary mind, Tamil Jishepa. But then, of course, the question comes up, what's meant by ordinary mind, like my regular state as I am now? It's, and the answer is sort of yes and no. Yes, it is the nature of your mind, but not in its deluded state. And so this is then when we get into the sort of the differences, like then we and some of the technical terms that we have, and categories where we talk about the ground, state, path, and fruition. And so ground, the ground state, the nature of mind is Buddha nature. The ground state, nature of mind is ordinary mind, Mahamudra. And so then we can make all these, make more of the connections between the philosophical texts, the sutras, the commentaries coming from the Indian tradition, and then some of our practice material. So also on the this like question of, you know, terminology, how do we talk about Buddha nature? So talk about Buddha nature as who we are, not something we have, but this is who we are at our core, or when you get right down to it, like, and if we if and that and we give it a name, we call it Buddha nature, or we call it nature of mind, or Dharmakaya, or three kayas, or whatever it is, we give these names, and then the question is for us as beings, like, how do we bring this out? How do we develop it? And then we get into using terminology to distinguish like different states. So we talk about our ground Buddha nature, ground nature of mind, the path, and the fruition. We talk about our ordinary, quote unquote, impure, deluded state where we don't see this nature. We have some maybe intuitive sense of it, some inkling, that's what's brought us here. And that we call an impure state. Then as we're practicing on the path, the stains are, the stains, the sort of delusion or the distortions of that Buddha nature, nature of mind, become more, I don't know, like sorry, I'm losing words in that moment. The distortions become diminished. You know, they don't. They're first, they're very coarse, then they become more refined and clearer, and all. And then this is the path state, and then the resultant state is the ground Buddha nature, free of this distortion, or the stains, or what covers over it, or as they say, technically adventitious stains. And then you have this twofold purity, purity of the ground and the purity of the result, and it's fused. But along the way, we also use other terms to be able to talk about the process on the path and the different Buddhist traditions, both philosophical traditions and practice traditions, use different terminology. So you have certain terms used in a Mahayana context. You have terms used in a Vajrayana context. And then, in my case, my background in my practice path is Mahamudra of the Dakpo Kagyu. And then we have the terminology we use in the Mahamudra tradition. So, for example, in the Mahayana tradition, we talk about Buddha nature. I've just been saying that. In Mahamudra, we talk more about the nature of mind, ordinary mind. And in Vajrayana, we have a lot of complexities that we're using as means for bringing out this Buddha nature or revealing to ourselves our own nature of mind, our own luminosity that is inseparable from its own emptiness. And also then again, going back to Buddha nature, then the big question is like, if this is what sentient beings are, then why are they confused? Why are they suffering? Why are they not Buddhas? Because they are Buddhas, but they're not Buddhas. And so then there's also language in terms for talking about how beings are in a deluded state and how they develop. And we get into the these pair of terms sometimes. The naturally abiding gotra, or sometimes naturally present gotra, and the evolving gotra, there are many different ways of translating that. The naturally present gotra is our ground Buddha nature, what's always there, but then there are the supporting conditions and practices and things we do that bring this out and make this fully manifest. And that all falls under this term and idea that there's a developmental quality or developmental phase or evolving gotra. So it's not just if we sit and do nothing that our Buddha nature, I mean, it's there, it's present, and yet we aren't fully aware of it or fully experiencing it. If we experience suffering, for example. Yeah. And in the Vajrayana, the methods we use are based on who we are. So we are embodied beings, human beings are embodied beings, and our methods are based on our physical body and our mind. And so we're using our cognitive processes and we're using our physical body. So typically we start in Vajrayana with deity yoga, with a generation phase, which is a more cognitive one. It's more imaginative, if you want. It's a transformation of our conceptual mind, for example. And then this is paired with the completion phase, which are more subtle and refined methods that in our Kagyu tradition are called the six dharmas of Naropa, and they're based on the physical body that we have as human beings, which is also called Vajra body. And one of the things that the seventh Karmapa, Chodrak Chamso, said, which is brought out in Rongchung Dorje's text called The Profound Inner Principles and Jamgon Kongtrul's commentary on that, is that what we call Vajra body in Vajrayana is this evolving gotra in the Mahayana. And so this can be very helpful for practitioners to understand so that we understand how the methods work and we have more confidence in them and in ourselves in our practice of them. And this ties back to how my teacher, Kenpo Soltram Chamso, has always taught, which is emphasizing view. So understanding what it is we're doing and then how it all works, with more emphasis on the understanding of, like what it is we're doing, the principles of our practice. And I found that extremely helpful as someone who began thinking, oh, I just want to meditate. I just want to bring out my full potential of wisdom and compassion, whatever it was I sensed that was there. And it's what brought me to this path. But quickly found that if you don't have a clear understanding, whatever that may mean for you, wherever you are, that you'll start asking questions and you won't really be able to resolve them necessarily just through a path of meditation as a beginner. So how to explain Buddha nature to somebody on the street? You know, you say it's who you are, but then what does that mean? Then that brings the next question, you know, and people have a sense very often of what something that they sometimes can't even put a word to. Like, you know, they might talk about it as like, you know, if they have to say something, they say something like, it's my heart, like I know in my heart. And if you can kind of prompt them about that, then they get into, you know, saying, you know, things, well, it's about love or some, you know, something like that. And this is this connects to people's Buddha nature. This is what we're really talking about and why I think the use of the term Buddha nature, which is not actually what we'd call a literal translation even, you know, is actually good because everybody gets a hit of it. You say Buddha and they think something like all my best qualities and nature, that's really who I am. So Buddha nature. But I would say, yeah, that and then if you could go a little further with people, they don't get put off by what we might say, like a little bit more technical language. You know, it's our innate qualities. It's innately who we are right there. It's not something we have. It's not something we have to acquire. It's what we know within ourselves. And sometimes we see this, I think, more manifest and we maybe don't recognize it. But if you have ever been in a situation of like great grief or shock, either individually or collectively, like often what comes out in people is this great warmth and kindness to each other despite the horrible circumstances. Like if you were around New York City like after 9/11, the people who are most impacted by that had such a feeling of warmth and love for each other. The rest of the world, the rest of America may have been angry, but you went down to New York City to Ground Zero and you just felt like there was like this common humanity from the policemen and the fire people to the people who had lost people in that. And to me, this is Buddha nature.